What's interesting is there's so much today about self-care. What are you doing to balance your life and all of that? What I've discovered, and high achievers are attracted to me because I am one, is that we don't want to slow down. We don't want to take time off. I want to build more, not less. That on-off switch actually is a myth about stress, anxiety, the things that take us out. So let me explain that for a moment. So most people think, and I lived under this for years, you know, have your big day, do your thing, and then it's Calgon, take me away. I'm going to exercise, I'm going to meditate, I'm going to take care of myself, I'm going to eat right, and I'm going to be fine. That's a total myth. My dad operated under that myth. He was CEO of a bank. He got a wake-up call. He had a first heart attack, but then the second one took him. So that model of work hard and then take time off is not how stress actually works physiologically in our being.
Welcome back to the Bevin Rich Show. This is going to be an awesome, fun episode with Elle Ingalls. And for those of you that don't know Elle, she helps C-level executives, business owners, entrepreneurs, professionals, and all different high-achieving individuals struggling with anxiety and stress and helping them reduce their stress-induced burnout. She has a product and a really cool course and a lot of different products under the umbrella of her title called The Pressure-Free Method. We talk a little bit about this inside of the episode about working smarter, not harder. If you get triggered with your fight or flight stress hormone, how to navigate it. We get into a little bit of the science behind achieving peak and mental health performance. We even have a little segment where we talk about farting, just something to look forward to. But really, really cool conversation. She's an expert at what she does. And one of the cool things that she offers is a free consultation if you're a good fit. So another great episode on the Better Than Rich Show with Elle Ingalls. Welcome to the Better Than Rich Show with your hosts, Andrew Biggs and Mike Abramowitz. The Better Than Rich Show helps ambitious leaders who are on a mission to leave the world better than they found it, change their perspective on what's important, increase their income and impact, and systemize their life and business. If you've ever struggled with finding your purpose, have felt disconnected or distracted, or found yourself going through the motions, this show will remind you that what you do matters and will re-inspire you to chase your highest dreams. It's time for you to become better than rich. Welcome back to the Better Than Rich Show. I'm your host today, Mike Abramowitz, and I am here with Elle Ingalls. Elle, welcome to the Better Than Rich Show.
So happy to be here, Mike. It's great to meet you.
Well, I'm really looking forward to this conversation because I know you have a lot of expertise with helping C-level executives, business owners, entrepreneurs, professionals, all these high achievers, these hyperachievers, a lot of individuals who listen to our show. And one of the things that I have found from a lot of the listeners and members of our community, a dadpreneur like me, mm-hmm. or a mompreneur like many of our students and our clients like and members me. Of the community, right. like you, there you go. Especially if we have a spouse, we have kids, we have a business, there's lots of responsibilities. And sometimes we feel that we have to have all the answers. We have to be in control constantly. We're the decision maker and we feel on all the time. And I have said on past episodes where it's like, I just want to be off. And then there's that little piece of me that says, well, what is this on-off switch? What does this mean? Can't I just enjoy what I do so much? I'm in flow state all the time. And then I feel like there's this tear there. Is something wrong? And it brings up all these extra questions. I would like for you to start just to speak to those like insecurities that might be showing up or the false beliefs that might be showing up for a dadpreneur, a mompreneur, where some of these stories are coming from, what's true, what's not true, what's real, what might not be real. Let's unpack some of that first, and then we'll see where the conversation unfolds, if that's cool.
So good. So flow state, you brought flow state up. And what's interesting is there's so much today about self-care. What are you doing to balance your life and all of that? What I've discovered, and high achievers are attracted to me because I am one, is that we don't want to slow down. We don't want to take time off. I want to build more, not less. That on-off switch actually is a myth about stress, anxiety, the things that take us out. So let me explain that for a moment. So most people think, and I lived under this for years, you know, have your big day, do your thing, and then it's Calgon, take me away. I'm going to exercise, I'm going to meditate, I'm going to take care of myself, I'm going to eat right, and I'm going to be fine. That's a total myth. My dad operated under that myth. He was CEO of a bank. He got a wake-up call. He had a first heart attack, but then the second one took him. So that model of work hard and then take time off is not how stress actually works physiologically in our being. I've crafted a concept, if you will, that helps people break the stress cycle. So you literally don't release stress hormones, abundance of stress hormones in your body, and you get to be in that flow state every day, all day, no matter what you're doing, with your family, going off on a hike because you want to go on a hike. I had one podcaster say, "Elle, what do you do for self-care?" And I started to chuckle. I'm like, anything that I do for that is because it's fun, not because I need it because I'm exhausted. I'm no longer exhausted because I've figured out how to break the stress cycle. And that is really what I do for people. So it's fascinating to get out of that paradigm that I'm working, and then I need to take time off. It's not true anyway. That's not going to really help you. In fact, some people need a vacation from the vacation. Ever go on vacation with your family? You're like, I need time off now. It's like too much. So especially people who are controllers. I have a couple CEO, C-level clients. They want to be flying the plane. They don't want to have somebody else flying the plane. So that's anxiety ridden for them. So it's kind of interesting to figure out, you know, what is truly causing you to feel certain emotions. It's kind of taking you out of flow and out of your game. And how can we interrupt that? How can we change that up? That's what's first coming up for me with what you said there.
So a couple follow-ups here. What I try to tell myself is anytime I want to say, oh, I'm just stressed, my reframe to that is my cortisol levels are a little higher than I want them to be. So that, again, this is just a reframe for me. So it's what can I be proactive with right now in this moment to actively reduce cortisol levels and increase endorphins or increase oxytocin, right? So this is like almost the reframe that happens inside of me when I'm consciously aware. However, there's a lot of times when I'm not consciously aware, where I have flipped the lid, I'm in my downstairs brain, as a whole brain child would call. I have a toddler, and my toddler sometimes flips that lid for me very fast. So his lid is flipped, and then his reaction flips my lid. But ultimately, when I'm aware, I can have the conversation with myself. So my first question would be, number one, from your experience, is that a solid strategy for someone that's listening, where labeling it, instead of saying, oh, I'm just so stressed because I am stressed, it's like I'm labeling it as identity versus my cortisol levels, it's a possession of mine. My cortisol was a little higher than I want them to be. Here's an antidote on how I could lower those and raise oxytocin and endorphins and have some sort of counterbalance here so I can self-regulate in moments when I'm aware. That would be number one, part A, if you want to hit to that. And then part B might be in the moments when my lid is flipped and I'm not aware, I don't have the ability to self-regulate in the moment. What is a drop-down menu? What is something that I could potentially do to mitigate consequences if I'm in the midst of a storm that I don't want to say something irrational or do something irrational that creates damage control beyond the now?
Right.
So I'd love to hear you riff on some of that.
Okay, let's start first with cortisol. So people are talking a lot about cortisol today, but there's a missing piece. And the missing piece is when you've released adrenaline. So there's a two-part system to the physiology of the stress response. When we first experience any sort of stimulus, so it could even be somebody's Power Ranger alarm, like wank, wank, waking you up in the morning, and your heart takes a little leap. You've triggered a massive amount of catecholamine hormones from the center of your adrenal glands. I call it a cocktail because you're now under the influence. So when those hormones go out, you're going to have energy, but it's short-lived. So you get this burst of energy because it's pulling fat and glucose from your extremities so you can fight or run away. That's fight or flight. Some people freeze. Some people fidget or pen click. You know, whatever it is that happens when you go into fight or flight. When that goes down, now your brain is offline. You're in that toddler brain, if you will. You're in your fight or flight, scared brain, the monkey brain, the croc brain, lots of words for it. But you're using the center part of your brain and your cortex, your thinking, your rational thinking, your decision-making, your willpower, two spots for willpower, your hippocampus for memory and access is all somewhat shut down. That's why you mentioned, you know, you say things that later you regret. You do things that later you regret. You're not thinking very clearly. That's on purpose. If we're in fight or flight, we only want to be reacting to whatever that threat is. In fact, a lot of things can feel like threats, even though they're completely benign when you're in that state. there's a big flood of cortisol and glucose that goes out later to actually fix the brain cells that we've dehydrated and depowered and our extremities. So cortisol actually has a really good function in the brain, but people don't talk about it very much. So glucocorticoids are built in the outer part of the adrenal gland, go right into the bloodstream when you figured out, okay, thread is gone, I need to fix all this. So when that happens, that has a whole list of side effects too. I mean, the side effects from the adrenaline are huge. Shuts down your digestive system, why people have so much mess going on, IBS, like all this stuff. Basically, every chronic disease through time, mental or physical, has a direct root in the release of these hormones. So once you've triggered them, most of the things you see today in literature, in the media, those are what I call recovery tools, things to do because you've released these hormones. Like you were saying, okay, I noticed that I'm elevated. How am I going to get back to normal? Unfortunately, for our bodies, when a male releases these hormones, it's going to take up to 9 hours before your cells can dissipate them all out and you're back to normal. But for females, it can be up to 24-hour cycle. Doesn't matter gender-wise, it's your whole day, your whole night trying to sleep. So instead of getting a real night's sleep, your cells are literally taking care of this hormone mess. So that's why people wake up so fatigued and tired. I like to go to the start of it. When you can start to identify and map out, what are those things that ping on you? For example, we just got on here. If the tech wasn't working, tech stress is real. So is text stress, by the way. Like you get a text from someone and you're like, holy crap, I can't deal with this right now, right? So any kind of thing like that, those are what I refer to as triggers. Those are stressors that could at any moment pop you. Most people pop first thing in the morning, just trying to get out of bed. How do most children in this country wake up? Hurry up, we're going to be late. The moment we say that, everybody in the house can react to that and trigger the stress response. So now those math facts you worked on so well with your kid, they know them all. They go in to take the test and they can't remember some of them. How many times you go into a social situation, you meet someone, right? And then you're like, oh crap, what's their name? 5 seconds later. So we're not stupid, but if we trigger the stress response, we don't have full functioning for the rest of our day. That's really incredible to start to understand. I did a little test on myself just recently. I was speaking to a marketing company, about 54 people in the room. They had 35 of those people on their website with pictures and names. So before I got over to their venue, I was at the hotel and I thought, how many of these people could I actually learn and like learn their names? So I got into the hall. When I got in there, I'm there over an hour early. They got done the first part of their portion early. And the CEO looks at me and go, we're ready for you, Al, if you want to come on early. Now, most people would trigger the stress response then because it's like, oh, I have to do 3.5 hour talk instead of 90 minutes. Like, what? You know, you're having me come in early. Okay, I can do that. Yeah, I was supposed to be 2.5 hours, now 3.5 hours. So I go in, I remembered 30 of those 35 people, like I knew their names. If I had triggered the stress response before I tried to learn them, I wouldn't have remembered very many of them. And then when that event happened, I probably wouldn't even remember the CEO's name. Like my memory would have been shot. So if we can back it all up, and for you, let's take a particular situation. You get a text from somebody, Mike, you get a text and it's not good news, or at least you don't think it's good news because people's texts can be weird. So you get this text and you feel your face turn red because it's something that you did and now you feel embarrassed. So you're feeling your face turn red, or maybe your palms are getting sweaty. That's a sign right there that you've triggered the stress response. So if I'm working with you as a client and I see you get this text, the first thing I'm immediately going to ask you to do is put a hand on your belly and relax your abs. If it's an embarrassment or you're feeling shame or anxiety, the tendency is going to be to tighten your ab muscles as protection. We don't have ribs down there, so we tighten down there to protect those organs. When you relax your ab muscles, it immediately tells your brain there's no reason to go into fight or flight. You don't need your amygdala to fire, to trigger your heart rate, to trigger the adrenal glands. You don't need that. So if you relax your abs, it's a very simple tool, but let's do it together. Like put a hand on your abs. You probably have a little tension there. If you relax those abs and now roll your hand down over your belly to where it tucks back in a little bit, your lower abs, and see if you can relax that spot. I refer to that spot as your safety, your empowerment, deep power, your love, and your money. So we're talking about wealth here. If you're tight in that area of your body, you're probably not bringing in the money you really could. You're probably not bringing in the love you really could. You may feel a little disempowered now and then and not safe. If we don't feel safe, we can't be our full self. So that spot right there is something I work all the time with people on, to get that spot relaxed so you can literally be living in the flow of energy 24/7. It's the first tool that I teach, well, one of the first tools I teach my clients, just to get them feeling safer. I once was coaching 12, I work with children as well as adults. I was working with 12 volleyball girls, varsity volleyball team in high school. And at one point I just asked these girls, I go, how many of you don't feel safe in your day? Like, you don't feel safe. Every hand shot up. One girl says, I don't feel safe going into the bathroom because all these girls are vaping in there. All these little things that these high school girls are having to deal with, they don't feel safe. So when I get them in a frame and get those abs relaxed and open them here, it's incredible. I go, now what do you feel? And this girl goes, I feel professional now. She's 14. She goes, I feel professional now. And I'm looking at the girls, I go, you all look professional, right? Because they're in a positive, open frame. They're not scared. They're not hiding. So I use a lot with body when you're asking that last part of your question. I use a lot with body at first to help people literally feel open, relaxed, and not disempowered.
Well, listener, that's a great clip, great masterclass in what you can do. Some of what you're talking about, Al, I did Dr. Dispenza's meditation thing. It was like a 5-day breath work, and it was really intense. It was during COVID. It was like 2 hours from like 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. Wow. And then it was like another 2 hours at like 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. and then a 1 hour lesson in between or something. It was just really, really wildly intense to activate the pineal gland and all through breath work and bringing this energy up through the body, like drinking through a straw of energy and going through the different chakras. I mean, it was wildly tough. And I shared some of that on the podcast in the past, but recently, since May of 2023, I hired a somatic breath coach, Michael Gay, and I work with him just about every week, usually about 3 times a month. And what's so interesting, as you're talking about relaxing that lower abdomen, I've never shared this with anyone before, but I'm going to share it on the show right now. This is brand new information for someone listening. So I made an agreement with my wife because my past relationship ended and I used to fart in front of my previous girlfriend all the time. We did in front of each other, but I felt like it reduced intimacy. So when I went and married my wife, I made a commitment to myself and also to her. I said, I won't fart in front of you until you fart in front of me. And now we're 7 years in and she still hasn't. And I'm like over here as a pretty gassy dude. And I hold some of that stuff back. And sometimes it slips by accident, but it's not like, I'm going to rip this one, you know? So when I'm with my somatic coach and I'm doing my breath work and he has me doing some deep breaths, taking sips, relaxing in the exhale, getting into the body and really just like calming down, they're just ripping, you know, so much gas is just like letting go, letting go, letting go. So when you're talking about that lower abdomen area, from my vantage point, yeah, a lot of that stuff is just like locked up in there. So I don't know what what of this is, but I'm not trying to get to the science behind a fart, but essentially there's something being like held on to, and then there's something that wants to be released for me during these sessions. And I don't know if a listener can relate to that, where maybe it's not you breaking wind, but maybe there's a version of that for you that is being exposed as you go through some of these exercises that I was talking about. But anything you want to hit on with that, that maybe could be relevant? I'm just curious.
I really do, because a lot of women have IBS and a lot of problems down there, like a lot. And I think the farting thing is a real deal. And if you can't be comfortable passing gas, which is a very human thing to do with your partner, I think that causes a lot of issues, like a lot of tension down there. And I've done some work with actually one of our colleagues who was in our group together. I can't believe how tense people are down there. So tense. And that tension causes disease. It causes disease. It also keeps your brain primed to go into fight or flight very quickly. Small annoyances. So I have what I call the 4 A's. Anytime you feel annoyed or angry, anxious or afraid, and anytime you feel ashamed. Those are what I call the A emotions or affects that can very easily prime you to go into fight or flight. And if you're holding tension in your lower abs, you're literally telling your brain to be alert. be alert to the threats, because that's where we protect ourselves. So when you can relax there, and it's really funny that you mentioned this, because, well, we're just going to be real. Can we be real, Mike? I've never said this on camera.
This is what we do in the Better Than Rich show, Al.
So I was like a huge farter. But the more pressure-free I became, the less I was. And part of it is digestion. So when we trigger fight or flight, the digestive system slows down or stops, because that takes a ton of energy. And we want all the energy to fight or run away. So we're not processing our food correctly. And a lot of it starts to build to fat, because the body thinks we need fat. If we're in fight or flight, if we got stuck in a cave and the tiger's out there and we can't get to food, we need to store fat. We store it in our abdomens, and we store it in a little fatty hump at the top of our spine here at the base of the brainstem, because our brain needs a ton of fat and our organs need a ton of fat just to function. So we store. So that's really interesting, because a lot of people, especially as they age, they've got these rules of fat. They're like, I'm working out, I'm eating right. Why do I still have these bands of fat here? And it's probably because sometimes in our very workouts, we're triggering too high. I work with a lot of athletes as well, and I help them find the sweet spot of their athletic heart rate so they don't trigger fight or flight. And with those who like have, there are whistles blown, pistols firing, just the sound of the starting gun for runners will pop them. That's why they hit the wall. So when I teach runners to not react ahead of time, keep all this super open, relaxed, and not react to that starter gun, it's unbelievable what their times do. It's just incredible. We are very reactive people. We've become a hyper-reactive society. And we put so much pressure on ourselves, especially as entrepreneurs. We have tough months. And then we have great months. It's like overall, it's not the steady paycheck anymore. So we're in a different way of being, a different paradigm. Sometimes we get paid way ahead for a project that lasts a lot of time. And sometimes we aren't paid. I worked on a course and built this amazing course, hardly sold any of it. So I worked and worked and worked and then didn't get a payoff really. But then I found other ways to use that material to build what I was building in my business. It wasn't wasted time, but it's fascinating how we're in a different paradigm, and that can cause a lot of stress for people. And it can be so insidious, like it's like moving in. So that's what I have to say about passing gas.
So we'll have to label this episode, How Farting Reduces Stress with L. Ingalls. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm going to get a real reputation, Mike.
But I'm glad we were able to have that conversation, because again, I don't think I shared that before. And I also wanted to click on one thing that was said is, the reaction mode that most entrepreneurs settle into is because we almost like, what I have found, at least from working with clients and students, has found that we build the foundation of our business with this grinder mentality. Let me just work and work and work and build and build and build. And then we get to a threshold where it's like, okay, I'm better than where I was, but now I want more. And it's like getting to that next level of more. Well, that's usually that pivot where there's compromise, and they'll either compromise time, or they'll compromise relationships, or compromise their health, or compromise something to get it to that next level. Versus what we try to help them understand is like, let's install some delegation. Let's install a team. Let's install some technology. Let's work a little bit smarter, work on the business now versus in the business so much. Sure. So just thinking a little bit differently. And one of those challenges in the reaction is, their phone is the device, because on their phone, a lot of us in the past, I don't anymore, will have all the different points of communication that someone can get our attention. So our attention is on our device, text, email, social media, all of our different apps, the Slacks, the WhatsApp. So all of these places that people could grab our attention is right on our device. So I installed systems inside of my device management where I put team, I have about 12 or 13 assistants that manage all of those apps and all of that communication for me. So that way I only have to go to my computer. So I'm only at my laptop whenever someone needs my attention. I've deleted every one of those apps off my phone. So that way I don't have to feel the need for reaction from my cell phone. Now, all of that to say, I'm called to my laptop. So I will intentionally create friction where I'll shut my computer down, where it's like, oh, I have to actually turn it on and log in just to go to react. So I try to create those barriers for myself. So when it's outside of my office hours, I'm off. What's the so what of that? When you hear this, Elle, why is it that this dadpreneur, this mompreneur creates an environment where reaction mode is accessible? Like it's almost like they're putting themselves in the position to be on demand versus trying to create boundaries for themselves where they are not as easily accessible. Tony Robbins is not easily accessible. Michael Jordan is not easily accessible. They have boundaries in their life intentionally created. Why don't the average mompreneur, dadpreneur do that for themselves? What have you noticed there?
First, I want to say something about people who are truly pro. I used to run a symphony for years. And so one thing that I noticed is the real top level pros will always make time for you. It's the next level down, like the strivers who will say, I'm too busy. Like sometimes I'll ask someone to be on one of my conferences if they're like, oh, I don't have any room in my calendar. That's a sign to me that they don't manage your calendar very well. Because I've found that the people at the very top, they will give you the time of day. It's fascinating. Versus people who feel so busy, like I have no time. So we wear a busy badge today in our society. Look how busy I am. I'm the person that everybody turns to volunteer for this and be on this board and da 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 da. What's fascinating, I'm going to really dig in for a moment about what truly is taking up our time. So there's a session in my course, in my coaching, where I go deeply on these things, because these not only are things that take up our time, but they prime us to trigger fight or flight. Complaining, blaming, and shaming. So, oh, it's her fault that I haven't finished my degree yet, or didn't get my book done this month, or the kid's fault that we didn't get to do this, or like we look for reasons why. And in fight or flight, we have to justify and rationalize what's happening to us. Our brain has to have these answers. So we'll even make them up. They might not be true. Might not be true. It's your wife's fault you didn't get your degree. But you'll make up a story because your brain wants a story to tell why you're wanting this and here's where you are. You're not meeting your expectations. So we go into blame, shame. We worry. So we'll worry about, are we getting to get to the airport on time? You know, and then we get there and the flight's delayed and wait another 2 hours. But the constant worry, I call it negative fake worry, because you don't know what's going to transpire. Fear of uncertainty is our biggest fear. We can talk about fear of failure and all these other fears. But in talking with my colleague, who's a leadership coach, Bruce McClellan, we're like, the fear of uncertainty is really the big one. We don't know what's going to happen next month. So that incessant worrying, so much of people's time. You can be worrying about your children. You can be worrying about your aging parents. So I help my clients really understand what is taking up my brain space. And if I can release that and move right to either solution or preparation for a solution rather than spinning in those ways. And chances are if you start spinning, you're going to trigger fight or flight. And that's taking up time. Well, for me personally, about 8 weeks in, that was really my breakthrough. I went an entire day without triggering the stress response. And I had two chronic issues that completely cleared in 8 weeks. I also had about 2 hours a day, moved then to 2.5 hours a day of productive time. Like all my stuff is done. So I asked my kids, by the way, I have three boys, three sons. They were teenagers at the time and a middle schooler. And my husband were sitting around the table. I go, tell me the honest truth. Did I used to complain, blame, shame, bitch, moan, worry up to 2 hours a day? Because I seem to have this extra time now. And they all nodded yes. This is how we'd start the day. Oh, don't forget you have hockey today. Did you wash your baseball gear? Because you've got practice after school. And dad's taking you here. And then I'm going to pick you up after. It's like I'm the cruise director, right? Very busy family. Oh, don't forget you have rehearsal tonight. Like just going on and on. I shut up. I stopped saying any of it. We have a color-coded calendar right behind my head in the dining room. They all can read. So it was a complete shift, and I gained time. Because all of that spinning in the morning was done in an adrenaline phase. I was adrenalized. So when I backed out of all that, everything worked better. Everything worked better. And those little habitual complaints, apparently Americans complain about time and the weather up to 20 minutes a day. Then they complain they don't have enough time. So it's like, oh, just noticing the things that are, I call it discernment. Discernment of thought, discernment of body. Is this thing spinning me where I want to go or taking me where I don't want to go? is this thought moving my business forward or is it detrimental to my business? Is this thought that I'm going to not do well in this negotiation, is that spinning me up or down? It's spinning you down. So that discernment right there can gain you time, and time is so precious. And I'll give you one more tool that I think is super helpful.
Can I click on that real quick before you go to the tool? I just want to make sure that's captured, because sometimes we are going into this down cycle, like you just mentioned, because we're not giving ourselves the space to reveal. Like, we want to almost go into reaction. We want to be distracted so we don't have to feel sometimes. So it's almost like intentionally creating stress or intentionally creating worry so we don't have to feel. And I can't speak on behalf of every human, but especially those in business, especially those that are married, especially those that have kids, it's like feelings. Ugh, I just want to get shit done. And there's consequence of that. And so I just wanted to make sure that was captured, right there. But please continue. You're doing awesome, Al.
Yeah, that's good. Also, we have an addiction to drama in our homes. We have an addiction to drama. And when one person, I love to say, misery doesn't just love company, it demands it. So someone can't find their keys in the morning. And the moment they go into, now everybody's panicked because that car is behind the ones that all have to get out, whatever the situation is. Like, now no one can find their stuff. It really is interesting to watch family react to each other. I had coached a girl who had type 1 diabetes and her mom. And then I was speaking at a convention and they were in the front row, their whole family. And when I asked who wants to share what one of their triggers is, and this girl 13, she stands up, turns to the whole crowd, many of whom knew her because she was very quite well known in the type 1 nation field. And she goes, my whole family stresses me out. Right? So sometimes the people that love us the most are causing us to trigger the stress response. So that's kind of an interesting thing to note too. Like, why are you going down and getting deep into that? What was the other part that you wanted to talk about?
You were going to go with some tools and I totally interrupted your flow. I apologize.
No, it's cool. So the tool, I got this out of a book, Maximize Living. It was a tiny thing at the back of Ben Lerner's book about double yellow lining. So when we go down the road, see a double yellow line, it means we can't pass. I kind of expanded on this thing from what he taught me. But here's the double yellow line. It's a great visual because we know it. Even kids who don't drive yet, they know it too. Double yellow line means don't pass. There's a few ways you can use this tool. Look at everything in your day and place a couple double yellow lines between each thing. So when you leave your home office or whatever, and you go in to have dinner with your family, double yellow line comes down. Most of us start bitching and moaning about work or whatever. Like, we don't actually have a real great conversation sometimes. And so double yellow line and now, like, really be with this. You get permission now to be in this time block fully and completely.
I was going to ask you a question on that. When you say meaningful conversations, that's not bitching and moaning, can you just click on that and just define that for just a moment? Because I think some people might not exactly know what that means.
Yeah. In all of my life, I've noticed when I was working places like banks and I was a server in restaurants, you know, any kind of work, people are complaining about personal stuff at work. And then at home, they complain about work. So there's so much time taken up in complaining or what's not going right. And actually, we're going to get into books, but like the gap and the gain, actually looking at what has been achieved and what has gone right in the day, in those conversations at the table, just noting when you're starting to move into a complaint that's going to take the energy this way. And pausing for a moment and saying, do I really want to go there? What do I want? What is your intention for your dinner with your family? How do you guys all want to leave the table? Like, oh, let's go outside and play basketball now, right? Or, you know, like, and I have to share this story because this changed my relationship with my youngest son forever. Beautiful spring day. He's the youngest. He comes home from track practice. I'm at the computer madly working and he goes, Mother, it's so beautiful out. Let's go out and play tennis. Pre-pressure free, I would turn to that kid and said, I've got to finish this and I have to make supper, so maybe after supper. I turned to my son and he was so eager to play tennis with me, right? 16 years old. So I said, absolutely, sure. Let me get my tennis shoes on. So we just went out in the driveway and we played tennis for like 20 minutes. That became a pattern. He'd come home from track, we'd go out and play. Who cares that dinner is 20 minutes late? Who cares? So now we're doing this little thing. So fast forward, he's an adult now. his girlfriend lives in Boston. He'll be like, I'm going to Boston. You want to come with me? You can drop me off and go up to New Hampshire where your my family's all up there. And he goes, you can drop me off in Cambridge. And then he wants me to travel with him. He actually, during his sophomore year, he was at Columbia. He calls and goes, what if the two of us went and gotten our PhDs in psychology together at Michigan? Like, we create a performance lab. And he goes, we could get a condo together. What teenage boy wants to go to college with his mother? Right? But it was that moment when I valued being with him more than finishing my project and making dinner. I valued him first. And so I teach that to my clients, like, what are you valuing? And what do you want that conversation to be like? Because what are you going to do for fun tonight? What are you going to do with your family? Or is everybody going to go off on their devices and into their rooms? Mm. And they don't even want to be at the dinner table.
It's such a valuable reflection for everyone listening right now. It's like, because we say family first, or these are my priorities. I'm doing what I'm doing on this computer so I could spend more time with you later. Or I got to finish this so I can make more money. So that way we could go on that trip that we talked about going so I could spend more time with you, right? So in those moments, we need to be reminded sometimes of, why am I doing what am I doing? What, my business is a vehicle so I can have these moments with that person that's on that's the right. other end of the door, right? So we could keep this conversation going for a long, long time. And I know there's other stuff we want to get to. So I'm going to ask you one question and then we'll see. Is there anything that we didn't capture that you're like, Mike, please let us capture it? Because one of the things that I want to make sure, if there was anything that was unspoken or I didn't ask or we didn't bring into the space before we go to our final three questions, is there anything left over that we didn't get to today that you'd really like to click on?
Yes, I want to get to the crux of my method just quickly, that when you experience a stimulus, you actually have about 10 seconds before the mechanism of the stress response will release that first flood of hormones. So 10 seconds is plenty of time. 1,001, 1,002, we're not going to wait. It's plenty of time for you to relax your abs or smile or put something, some thought in your head, like you were talking about, some thought that switches it up for you. Call it flip the switch. And one of the biggest things I do is I create motions, specific motions for my clients to do, because again, one of the fastest ways for an adult brain to create new neural pathways and change a habit is a gross motor motion. Just like when we were kids, we learned through big motion, not small, fine motion, big motion. So I use a lot of body and motion with my clients to help, but 10 seconds is plenty of time. Yes, it takes time. And I want you to celebrate, even if you still feel you went into fight or flight, your palms are sweaty, you're elevated. I want you to still celebrate that you noticed a trigger. That's what we have to start to work on. Oh yeah, so my alarm is the trigger, or when I hear from so-and-so, it's a trigger. Or when my wife's voice has a certain, did you get the garbage out today? kind of voice in there, right? And if a voice is like that, by the way, they've triggered fight or flight. If a voice is tense and tight, they've triggered fight or flight. So you get to play in that 10-second window and just ask yourself, how can I interrupt the stress response in that 10-second window? And you'll come up with ideas.
That's really good. And one thing I recently learned was, who am I talking to right now? So with my wife, if I hear that the thing in her voice, sometimes I'm like, is this the 13-year-old girl that was bullied? Is that who I'm talking to right now? Or is this the badass overachieving mom that was, you know, in the hospital with our son for 8.5 months? Like, which version of this woman am I talking to in this moment right now? So sometimes I just recently learned that. It's really cool. Great little tool. Like, what version of this person am I talking to? So Elle,
I got to do this. So one of my 17-year-old clients said, she's at the end of the course with me. She goes, Elle, you're just teaching people how to be grownups, but most grownups don't know how to be grownups. And I'm like, we need to be more responsible. I really full out believe this, that we have created a whole generation of very irresponsible adults. And emotional resilience and ability to not overreact in these situations is the key to us really experiencing a true maturity. It's beautiful and it's life-changing. And when I have kids learn it at age 10, like, it's phenomenal.
It's so good. And that's why we call it the brotherhood. But in Front Row Dads, a lot of us talk about reparenting our childhood selves so we don't project our own stuff onto our kids. So it's really valuable stuff. So Elle, I would love to keep this conversation going. And I'm sure people are going to stay in touch with you. These are real quick hitting, whatever top of mind, three quick questions we like to ask every guest. And I'm sure some people are going to want to learn how to stay in touch with you. First question, what do you think the world needs most today?
pressure-free living, to not react.
It's great.
I want a pressure-free world. I want my kids and my grandchildren to grow up in that.
And what are 1 to 3 books you think people should read?
The trilogy with Dan Sullivan and Benjamin Hardy, I think, are great. Gap and the Gain, 10X is easier than 2X, and Who Not How. I think those are great books. I'm just going to leave it at that. I've got a zillion books. On my own book, so Pressure Free Parenting is on Amazon, and you get to reparent yourself if you're not a parent with that book. So it's a really powerful book that some moms and dads have just really loved it. So
that's great. Say the name of the book one more time, your book.
Pressure Free Parenting. It's got a subtitle too, but you just have to remember Pressure Free Parenting. Yeah.
That's great. Last question. What does it mean to you to be better than rich?
To be better than rich, to be using my gifts and talents fully with no fear, whatever that transpires into, but to not be held back. I think being held back, especially for high achievers, is like the worst thing. And so to be fully rich is to be able to express all of that with no fear of loss or fear of ridicule or fear of all the comparison things we have today, to be free of that and to just really go for it and have a really beautiful life. I say it all the time, is I believe people deserve a beautiful life no matter what challenges. You mentioned your wife in the hospital, your son, like no matter what challenges, we deserve a fulfilling life. So that's what I would consider beyond rich.
Hmm. Well, I know people are going to want to stay in touch with you. Tell us a little bit about Pressure Free. Tell us about how people could stay in touch with you. I believe you even have a free consultation that you're offering to our guests. So tell us more about how they could stay in touch. We already have the book, Pressure Free Parenting. What else?
You can go to my website to see it, but pressure-free.com or my name, lingles.com is the fastest way to get there. There's a button for a free consultation. I like to talk to people. And if you have a child struggling, I really love working with children as well. So I have my private coaching. I have a program that I take people through. I also talk to groups of any size. So I do speaking online, in-person, conferences, conventions, the whole deal. So any sort of team can really benefit from this. And then I have a certification program. So if you're a coach, if you're someone who helps other humans in any way, athletic coach, business coach, whatever, people come and work in my certification program to learn how to incorporate this into what they do or create even another side stream of income as a performance coach. But that has been really powerful for people, especially business coaches who say, like, my clients just aren't doing it. They're so stressed. They're not doing it. You incorporate some of this into what you are teaching them. They can free to be their best selves. So I love working with people in my certification program too. It's all on my site and you can take a look. And you will never feel pressure. How could I ever have pressure if I'm a pressure-free coach, right? So if you come on a call with me, you can ask anyone who's been on a call with me, you will never feel pressure to buy anything. I get to hear about you and we get to see if this is a good fit. If it's not a good fit, like I might say, oh, maybe therapy is a better route for you. Or like, I'm so honest about all that. So I really love talking to people though, getting on Zoom with people to see them and understand what is really going on with them so we can clear it up. Like clean it up.
That's great. And again, listener, L Ingles, that's ELLEINGALLS.com. Just went to the website. Free consultation button is right there. Highly recommend you take advantage of that offer. Thank you for giving us your time, L, your wisdom and your resources. And listener, obviously, thank you so much. I know many of you have been following the show. I've been saying this for the last few episodes because we are going through the rebrand from Better Than Rich to Time Rich. And I know the reason why is because a lot of our listeners understand the business systems aspect and they understand the fulfillment aspect. But one of the things that we have found is they really need the time freedom piece, the boundaries, the communication guidelines, the systems, the playbooks, the team, the tech, everything that goes behind time freedom. So that's why we're rebranding to Time Rich. Right now, we're doing free consultations. We're calling them 90-day delegation planning sessions, where myself, I'm doing all of these right now, where I'm hopping on with you, mapping out your delegation strategy to help you figure out how we could get the bottom 20% offloaded. That's betterthanrich.com/90-day plan. You get a time audit workbook. We just want to get you some time freedom. So that way, pairing with what Elle's message is today, it's like, well, if you could have some sort of time awesome. You can position yourself to not have to be in reaction mode all the time for your business. So I love what we're doing with our community. I really appreciate you, listener, for being a member. Elle, thank you for bringing your wisdom to the space. Again, highly recommend you take her up on her offer for a free consultation as well. And as always, leave today better than you found it. We'll see you next week on the Better Than Rich Show. Cheers. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the show, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from us, you can follow us on Instagram at @better_than_rich and join our Facebook group at The Better Than Rich Show. Thanks again for listening. We look forward to seeing you next time. And remember, leave today better than you found it.